On this episode of Warbird Radio Presents, we look back at the 2010 International Council of Airshows Convention in Las Vegas. Stay tuned. Warbird Radio Presents, ICAST 2010, starts now. Every December, members of the airshow community gather in Las Vegas to plan out the upcoming airshow season and debrief the one that just wrapped up. For Warbird drivers, it's a chance to not only book shows for the next year, but also to visit with fellow Warbird pilots and show promoters about what went right and what needs to go better. One guy who knows all about Warbirds and airshows is Kevin Walsh from Thunder Over Michigan. Kevin, thanks for being here. You had like what? Just a few B-17s there last year.
Just a couple, yeah. We tied our world record of 8 B-17s at Willow Run Airport last year.
Just crazy. Thunder Over Michigan, of course, Kevin Walsh joining us here just for a few minutes. You're also here with your other company, though, that you offer airshow consulting services and this kind of stuff for.
Correct.
Part of NECAS, I guess, as well.
Yep. Part of Wingman Events is the company name, and it's Airshow Productions and Consulting. Taking the experience of 13 years of Thunder Over Michigan on the road and helping out other air shows in North America and be better at what they do.
You know, you said something last night that really struck me at the NECAS meeting. You said, because of NECAS, because of the Northeast Council of Air Shows, which is the sister organization to ICAS, the International Council of Air Shows, because of that, you were able to actually get another show online, and this time in Utah, though.
Yep, correct. The Yankee Air Museum was very aggressive in wanting to do another air show with the jet team. And it was through the NECAS convention and a conversation with other members that I was able to tie into a point of contact out in the middle of Utah, of all places, that wanted to have an air
folks
show.
Folks in Utah like air shows.
They,
you know?
They do. And they wanted to have one, but they didn't have the knowledge or the financial backing to do it. So, and it was just, you know, again, a casual conversation, and it was an environment that allowed that conversation to get that point of contact, and the rest is history. After
you know, Opie was just talking about that from Viper West. He said, "This is such a family." And people think of air shows, and they think this is really a tight knit group of people that make this happen all around the world every year. And you guys doing a bang up job. Can you give us a preview for Thunder Over Michigan 2011? What are we looking at?
Well, we're a Tier 1 Centennial Naval Aviation site. So we're very heavily focused on the Centennial. First and foremost, we're going to be super strong in Warbirds again. We've just actually announced our Pacific Battle theme. Where we're going to have two real zeros,
the fighter one hangar.
Correct. Yep. And the other is commemorative air forces.
Right.
We're going to have those two zeros in the sky. They're going to get jumped by 5-1 Corsairs that we're going to have there. Meanwhile, there's going to be a whole ground Pacific battle going on dogfight in the air with 5 Corsairs and 2 zeros are going on. That's what part of the Warbird component that we're
nobody's going to get excited about that.
Nobody's
going to get excited about that at all.
No.
Good Lord. One quarter. The real zeros in the air?
Yeah, real zeros. Yeah.
This has got to be the first time this has happened. I can't think of it. I mean, real zeros in the air with actual Corsairs. This has probably not happened in quite some time.
It probably has.
At this level.
Yeah, no, not at all. It takes the masterminds of a couple of us at Thunder Over Michigan to dream this stuff up and then figure out how to finance it. But we're really excited, super excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it. And what else is going to be happening then?
Well,
and be sure and give the date so folks can start renting the RVs and stuff to come out
exactly.
There.
Well, it's July 23, 24. We found July a great weekend.
Yeah.
U.S. Navy Blue Angels is going to be there. Tickets are on sale now at yankeeairmuseum.org. You can go there. You can get tickets as cheap as if you've bought tickets before and you're a preferred customer. You can get tickets as cheap as $15 per adult until December 25th. So we got a Christmas special running right now. Cheap tickets right up to Christmas. After that, the price increases by $5, so you still can get really inexpensive tickets for the show. We're going to plan an F-18 Hornet gathering. We've got lots of other Navy warbirds from all different eras.
This is at the same event?
Same event.
For 15 bucks, you get Kevin Walsh, of course. The guy's joining us here live. You just now signing on here. Kevin Walsh from Wingman Events and also from Thunder Over Michigan. He's one of the event organizers up there, the mastermind behind the B-17 gathering. And this falls in right around like Oshkosh. So guys are literally just having aviation overload at this point. I mean, it's nuts that you guys have have really pulled off something really well like this.
Yeah, well, we were after Oshkosh, with the weekend after Oshkosh last year. We're the weekend before this year.
Which means I will stop there along the way to Oshkosh.
Exactly. So people, when they're making travel plans, they really have a reason to come up to the Northeast and you know, see two amazing events together.
So you mentioned this F-18 reunion, pilots past and present.
Well, what we're trying to do is, since the Centennial Navy Aviation and really the Hornet is the frontline fighter of the Navy and the Marine Corps, we found it to be a great year to do this. We actually saluted the Herc back in 2009 and brought a whole bunch of Hercs in there. And the public really responded well to it, so we want to do it again. We kind of like intermixing some of these modern military and warbird gatherings together, and it's something for everybody.
Man, I think it's wonderful stuff that you guys are doing up there. I'm looking forward to getting up there this year. Hopefully, we can bring Warbird Radio up there and do some live broadcast from the event and all that kind of good stuff.
Awesome, sounds good.
Help you promote it. But Kevin, man, thanks for coming on. It's a pleasure meeting you.
All right,
you're right beside us here. It's just fantastic you came over. Thanks again, Kevin.
Thank you.
Blue Angel number 6, Lieutenant C.J. Simonson stopped by to share what's in store for the Blues in 2011. You guys announced your big schedule this morning. You're headed all over the country again. What have you experienced so far with the team, Lieutenant?
Well, this will be my second year on the team. Last year, I was number 7, the narrator and the advanced pilot, which I was in charge of basically executing the plan that number 8 comes up with each weekend. Right. So I'll show up a day ahead of the rest of the team, make sure the weekend runs smoothly, and then during the show I'm the narrator. So, or last year I was a narrator. So
yeah. Now this year you're going to get to fly in the show.
Are you
completely stoked about this?
I'm excited. Right? Yeah. I've had 15 training flights since the end of the season, getting ready for next year already. So we've done a ton of flying already, just off the coast of Pensacola.
Wow.
And third, we'll head to El Centro, California for 3 months, where we do. You know, we'll hammer out the rest of the season.
Right. Where's your hometown?
Where I'm originally from?
Yeah, where are you originally
Coon Rapids,
from?
Minnesota.
So are you going to be able to get up there?
We're going to Fargo, which will be the closest that we'll get. And then we're also going to do Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Right.
So we're not going to do Minnesota. We did Minnesota last year, St. Cloud last year. And then we're hoping in 2012 to go back to Minnesota.
Wow.
That'll be my last year.
That'll be your last year with the team at that point. Well, you know what? I can't thank you enough for your service and doing what you're doing. It's just terrific. As you heard, Roger, who just left here, he's the narrator for Tora, Tora, Tora.
Uh-huh.
You guys are following in the footsteps of so many brave men and women today who have helped defend this great country. And I just think it's terrific. And what you're doing and helping out with all that. You know, one thing I want to talk to you about here is what do you want people to know about the Blue Angels when they see the show? I mean, what do you want them to take away with you?
Well, what we hope to do is our biggest thing is we, you know, obviously the overall mission of the Blue Angels is to, you know, inspire young kids to get excited about the Navy and the Marine Corps. Hopefully, you know, they're going to replace us someday because, you know, let's face it, we're not going to be here forever. We need good young men and women to replace us in the Navy and the Marine Corps. So that's our number one mission. Secondary to that, we obviously realize that not everybody's going to go into the military.
Right.
So secondary to that, we'd like to inspire people just to be better people. You know, go stay in school, get a good education, you know, maybe pay back, make this country a better country than what we've got today.
Well spoken. And of course, you're a very lucky man. You get to wear the blue suit. That's got to be pretty fun.
Yes, sir.
You're a married man. I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure your wife likes that.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of the guys on the team. Any single guys on the team?
We do. We have. Let's see. Well, we've got
to watch out for them. I'm talking about this because we're supposed to have the Bachelor coming by.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Mr. Jake Pavelka. Well,
you know, our boss.
Stars, so.
Our boss is actually single. He's never been married. Our flight leader. And that's the first time since 1946 that our
That's happened.
Yeah.
Wow. So back in the Bearcat days.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you looking forward to that? Are you going to get to do any of the Heritage flights, perhaps, or did you guys participate with that?
We don't. Just because our demonstration is so choreographed, and we don't do any of the Heritage flights. We let the, you know, our Super Hornet brothers and the guys that fly the Gray Jets, they do the Heritage flights with the commemorative.
Bearcats and all
that
other stuff.
Yes,
the Commemorative Air Force and all that group. Well, I think it's terrific what you're doing, man. And, man, I can't wait to see you guys fly in here in just a few more weeks. We've got the whole list right here. We've been reading it out. And it's just going to be a great, great season.
Yes, sir.
A great 2012. Lieutenant, thanks for coming by.
Thank
man.
You. And I want to thank you guys for what
service.
You do for all the warriors out there.
We don't do anything, man.
Well, we appreciate it.
We do a lot for the Wounded Warriors, but at Warbird Radio, we just try and get the word out there about what you guys are awesome. Doing.
Thank you very much.
No,
nice
thank you, man. Godspeed to you. And we'll be looking for number six this year. What position is that, number six? Tell them.
It's the I'm the opposing solo. So, you know, we've got the diamond, which demonstrates
you're the badass.
We do the max performance of the F-18, and the diamond does the precision formation flying.
Right. We nothing away from the diamond.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
But the solo it's got to be pretty good stuff.
Yes, sir. It's a lot of fun to max perform that jet and do everything it can do.
I got to ask you, what did you think the first time you strapped on an F-18?
Well, it was, I tell you, it's hard to explain because, you know, you grow up looking at these, you know, beautiful fighter jets and
you were once a fan.
Yeah, you always imagine, oh man, I'd love to do that when I grow up, but I never thought I'd be where I'm at today, especially wearing, you know, flying the blue suit,
right? Had to be voted on by the team,
right?
It's a big honor.
You just never you know, you set your goals and you try to attain them, and you know, as long as those goals keep hitting those wickets, good things happen. So it's been an unbelievable run. And but to answer your question, the first time I flew the blue jet, I felt like I'd never flown a plane before in my life because, you know, like I was saying, you look at these blue jets and you're like, oh my God, those guys are great. And, you never imagine yourself flying them. And I was so nervous. I mean, my legs were shaking. You know, I'm like, okay, don't screw up. So, but it's a great feeling to represent the Navy and the Marine Corps week in and week out.
Yeah, God bless you. Thanks again for coming by. Lieutenant Simon, thank you for being here. And we look forward to seeing you to the first show again, El Centro, out there. And then I'm going to try my best. I'm going to be out there. Captain Dan is going to, he's been talking to us. We're going to be out there for the 100-year celebration. That big, 150-plus airplanes you guys are getting.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Fly over there with the Curtis Pusher, all that stuff. 100 years in Naval Aviation.
Yeah, over in San Diego there?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is a special time. And a special time for the Blues, and what an opportunity, man.
Yes, sir.
Let's stay on the Navy theme and catch up with one of our former F-14 demo pilots, Dale Snort Snodgrass. Dale, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
And glad to have you with us, Dale. And a couple of things to go over with you. The Heavy Metal Jet Team making some big announcements on the website just yesterday, I guess it was.
Yep.
Tell us about these two pilots. What do we know about them? And they're obviously flying with you. They must be pretty good.
Well, we have five pilots, actually.
So we went over the three yesterday, I should have said. Jerry, Jive, Kirby.
We got Jerry, Jive. Jive is the lead this time. So we're swapping from Team MS-760, where I was the lead, and I'm going to be the slot pilot. The opposing solo pilot. And then we've got two, Jared Isaacman and Doug Yemko, who are going to be the left wing and the right wing, which are young men that we're bringing along, and they're going to be very exciting to watch. And then our newest acquisitions, or just announced acquisitions, are we're going to be rotating a couple guys into the slot pilot.
Wow.
And we are using outgoing number two and number four Thunderbirds from this year's team.
Wow. Now that's going to be
so we're going to have we're going to have Slick and Stroker being able to cover the slot position, which brings huge amount of credibility to us, but more than that, it brings great training assets for us.
Right.
So
right.
We can they can come in and help tweak the formation and make it really, really exciting and really good. So we're thrilled to have them on board, as you might think. And they're thrilled because they're not going to be able to do air shows again. So they
right. Well, this gives them you know how to relate to that, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're really pumped up on being involved.
Great. You know, you've had such a great career, of course, a long time. F-14 demo pilot. A lot of folks remember you from seeing you fly the F-14 out there on the air show circuit. How is this different from say, doing an F-14 demo as an active duty, a commander at one point, but mm-hmm. and then a captain when you retired on the Navy? How is what you're doing today different from what you did back then? As far as being civilian and doing a formation jet routine, same disciplines go into it. How is that different from, the military side of things?
Well, it's the biggest difference, of course, is just the fact that when I was a demo pilot, I was a solo performance. And then I've made my mark in the air show industry as being a solo aerobatic performer. Obviously, flying lots of formation with the Heritage Flight and then early on with the Navy Legacy Flight.
Right.
But doing formation jet aerobatics is a new step. We sort of, our team MS-760 really got us up to speed over the past year, and then we're just expanding on that and bringing on board and expanding both the number of folks and using different airplanes. So it's a big thrill. I mean, for me, it seems like it's a natural progression. You know, it's just another. I like it because it's another thing that I really haven't done before with this number of airplanes, to be involved with the intricacies and the training requirements and put together a really good show. So it's been very exciting in that regard.
Right. Well, and of course, obviously, we're talking about the F-14, and then you're flying an L-39 now. A lot different aircraft there, a way different airplane. But still, the L-39, a fun airplane to fly, and it's great for the crowd to see as well.
Yeah, it is. But one of the I love flying the L-39, but I'm actually going to be flying a T-33. So
okay,
we have the jet team this year is five jets, the
and
Diamond
the,
with
right.
with the four L-39s, and I'll be the opposing solo in the
T-33,
and then I will lead the five ship around occasionally. So in the performance. So,
Dale, you've been flying air shows a long time. I mean, not only as an active duty captain in the U.S. Navy, but now, of course, as a civilian flight team member. Been flying the P-51 Glamorous Gal. We've all seen you fly that,
right?
And some amazing pictures there down low and on the deck. What keeps you doing this, Dale?
I don't know. I can't do anything else, I guess. I don't know what else I could do. But
there's no home for wayward air show pilots,
yeah.
Is there?
So. Well, I figured out that it's the best gig for a retired fighter pilot is to fly retired fighters. So that's what
right.
So that's what I'm doing. I don't know. It's just like anything else. I've been able to keep my passion alive, which is flying airplanes and flying both vintage and modern fighters. So I'm still able to keep scratching that itch, so to speak, and I laugh about it sometimes. I wake up on mornings, and I just have to pinch myself on the cheek and say,
right.
You know, for me, every day is a Saturday kind of a lifestyle. So, and you're with great people all the time, and that's really the biggest thing, is that what I miss most about leaving the Navy was missing the camaraderie of squadron life and having around a bunch of people who are very focused and very good at what they do. And this allows that to continue. So you're surrounded by really good folks who know what they're doing. And we're still in a position where we're training young guys, bringing them up to speed, young women or whatever, and bringing them onto the team. So it's a very squadron-like atmosphere. And we're using the same principles that both Jive and I and the Thunderbirds all found successful in our careers. And we're applying it to, you know, this civilian jet team. So. From a safety perspective and a training perspective and a drive for excellence.
You know, one thing we didn't talk about really yet is the Make-A-Wish side of all of this. And this is really reaching out a lot further than just an air show act.
This is huge. The United Bank Card Services, or United Bank Card Company, is they're not in this for their sponsor. They don't want their name spread all around. They're doing this to support the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So that is our main drive. So we want to help, you know, young children that have been dealt, you know, set of cards that aren't as nice as some other kids, and make their life a little more pleasant and make their life a little more exciting.
Right.
So we are doing that at air shows all around the country.
Well, I think it's a great thing that you're doing, Dale. Dale, I really appreciate you spending a few minutes
Thanks,
with us here.
Matt,
you're a
you
busy man tonight.
You got it,
you're
bud.
Sponsoring a big event tonight here at ICAST, so everybody's going to be...
Yeah, we have a big... party and open bar over at the Venetian. So,
you know, it's sad, but I've heard pilots don't like to drink a lot. So I hope someone shows up tonight too.
I did not. No, I won't go into
we
that.
Won't even go there. This is a family
Sunday
show.
Night. I did. Last night I didn't.
Oh well, Dale, thanks for
you
thanks
got
for
it.
Coming by,
okay,
it's
my pleasure.
We'll
see you.
See you.
Yep.
See you down the road.
Bye bye, folks.
We need to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll hear from more of your favorite pilots and teams right after this.
This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hey, Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the WIC's Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIC's wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us to the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon, we have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Welcome back. On this episode of Warbird Radio Presents, we're looking back on some of our favorite conversations during the 2010 ICAST convention in Las Vegas. Here now is Commemorative Air Force Colonel Jay Bess. Jay Bess, of course, from the Dixie Wing of the Commemorative Air Force here. With us to talk about sort of something that is a new project, Jay, a new idea here from the Commemorative Air Force Dixie Wing. And I think it's a great idea, called Fighter Pilot Fantasy Camp. This is sort of a brainchild to use the airplanes and use them wisely down there at the Dixie Wing. And it's going to give guys a chance to come down there, and gals a chance to come down there and fly these things as aggressively perhaps as training will allow. I mean, to really follow the footsteps of maybe a grandfather, an uncle, someone who might have done this. You're gonna fly them and actually train them up in the same aircraft all the way up until I guess one of the fighters, perhaps, even if they wanted to.
P-51 Mustang.
All right, so they're gonna start out in what airplane?
We're gonna start out in the PT-26 Cornell.
Okay.
And you know, that was one of the first planes, usually the primary trainers that or basic trainers that guys would, and some of the WASPs would first start flying. We're going to transition them to a Stearman.
Okay.
And get a good feel for that. And then from the Stearman, we'll go to the Pilotmaker T6. And then for the finale, we're going to stick them in a Mustang, the hottest thing out of World War II, and let their hair blow back.
I think I need to experience this to really be able to talk about it well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Need to come down there and do that, Jay.
This is...
just spend about a weekend doing it, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be... Wouldn't that be fun?
This is going to be a two-day event, and the idea is we're going to try to take folks through more than just the planes themselves, but just, you know, the mindset, what happened, what the training was all about, what life was like at that time, and of course, have a heck of a lot of fun doing it.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It is going to be fun. It's a two-day event held in Peachtree City, right there
at
outside
the Dixie
of Atlanta.
Wing. Yep.
So listen, guys, if you're listening to us over in the UK or anywhere around the world, this is an opportunity to fly direct from wherever you're at. And I mean anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can get to Atlanta. All roads lead to Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Via the air.
Very easy.
The world's largest airport right there at Hartsfield. And you could just fly on in there. And it's a short trip down to the Dixie Wing, and I'm sure you'll have a limo pick them up they sign up for this.
Listen, better than a limo, we'll send a Willys Jeep.
There you go. Yeah, send the Jeep down to pick them up. But Man, this is going to be exciting stuff. And I'm sure you're already generating a little bit of interest with this.
Absolutely. We've already got folks putting down deposits. And in fact, talking about Europe, I've got two folks in England right now that are looking at signing up here. And we've already got a couple folks ready to do it. We're going to keep a small crowd. We want to really focus in on some folks and let them have some fun doing this.
Jay, let's talk about the flight training. What are they... What should they expect for this? Do you have to have pilot experience, or is this something that anybody can do?
Absolutely. This is designed for pilots and non-pilots. This is not, you know, from a flight training standpoint, obviously, that's a whole other animal. But this is really going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
For anybody in any skill level.
Any skill level, show up, call you guys, and get a hold of the Dixie Wing there. Now, listen, if they are listening internationally, right now, they can find you online at the website there. For
DixieWing.org.
And to find you there.
Easy to find. Go to DixieWing.org, and you will see the link right on the front page to the Fighter Pilot Fantasy Camp.
I think this is really going to be awesome. So talk about some of the pilots that they'll be flying with.
Well, I have to admit, I don't quite know who we're going to have flying, but obviously our CAF pilots here at the wing are come from various military and civilian backgrounds. And Skipper Heil.
Skipper's going to be one of the instructors.
He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be.
I feel badly for these poor people. What do you mean? What are you doing? You have to hit him on the back of the head. I can already hear it.
Well, we wanted to give him a very authentic experience, you know?
Skipper will show up with a cigar in his boots. And, have you washed the airplane yet? What are you waiting on?
Absolutely.
I can already hear it. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be the way it'll go. Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun. Well, the Fighter Pilot Fantasy Camp, it's up and running. If you'd like to sign up again, let's give the rundown one more time. You're going to start them out in the PT-26, then they're going to fly the Stearman.
Yep.
And then eventually the T-6, the pilot maker.
Yep.
And then, guys, on Sunday afternoon, they strap in to the P-51 Mustang.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the P-51 that they're going to get to fly is legendary in itself. The Mustang that they will be flying is Red Nose.
Absolutely.
The airplane that started the Warbird movement here in the U.S. all by itself.
It started the CAF.
I'm telling you, that is the airplane. Guys and gals, if you want to come fly a P-51, you can talk to Bill Yoke, who's the next aisle over. He'll tell you that is that airplane right there flies more than most Mustangs ever fly. And the guys that are flying it, I can name a few of them right now. Skipper, of course, one of our Mustang pilots here at the Dixie Wing, but also John Corrente, an F-16 pilot. Squadron commander.
Absolutely.
There. Probably soon to be a brigadier general, perhaps. These guys are rock solid pilots. So I can assure anybody that comes out, they're going to have a great time.
Oh, it is going to be a blast. And we're also looking at, we actually may have a World War II P-51 pilot there, talking a little bit about his experience and what it was like going through pilot training and certainly what it was like in combat.
Now, who are they going to get to shoot down? can we scramble Alan or Jack to go up and let them you know, sort of intercept them out over over Lake Lanier, perhaps?
You know,
that could happen, I
think. We do happen to have the Kate and the Zero down there.
I think that needs to happen, Jay. I think on the way back, you know, they need to be intercepted.
In a strafing run, absolutely.
In a strafing run, right over Peachtree to Cab there. Quick! the guys are listening to this right now. They're the UK guys. That should be an added bonus. And if you'd like to shoot down a Cape or a Zero,
absolutely.
We have gentlemen willing to die for the Emperor.
Absolutely.
All right, that'll be fun.
Good idea.
Gosh. Well, I'm telling you, Jay, I think it could happen. I mean, what could that be? Alan would do it just for the joy of flying.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He'd have a great time with it.
One of the undisputed crowd favorites on the airshow circuit is the Viper West F-16 demo team. Here now is team announcer, Master Sergeant Carl Falcione. Glad to have you here, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, you don't normally do live radio, but you do live airshow announcing. You're giving Rob Ryder a run for his money, I mean.
Yeah, I like to joke with Rob and let him know in about 5-10 years, I'm just going to put him out of business.
Let me play something for you. This is no kidding. I played this morning, but you need to hear this because I'm a little worried. Don't get too close, and I mean this. Don't get too close to Gordon Bowman Jones. Let me play this for you here. This is no kidding.
Yeah, what a thrill it is to be here at ICAST 2010.
The world's most interesting man.
Looking forward to another season. This is a very, very special one for me. In fact, this
I'm just
is
fast
my 39th year. That is, yes. And in fact, also, between the three of us, we have this committee whereby we assassinate anyone that's coming up and looking good.
Okay, you heard it right there, Carlson. Stay away from Gordon. He's liable to assassinate
you. Okay, so I got to go. I got got to worry about Gordon. I'm a marked man, huh?
Yeah, you're a marked man.
Oh, and you know, I just did our final show of the year.
I know,
down
this is your
Thermal,
first year, too.
And I didn't get any knives in the back down there, so maybe Gordon's not gunning for me yet. Who knows?
Well, that's got to be the coolest thing, though, because you stand up there, and I get to announce for several shows, and we have a P-51 and, you know, some jets and some old World War II stuff.
Right.
But an F-16, my God, when the thing comes over, I've seen you do this. You really get into this, Carl.
Yes, I do. I mean, it's the most fun I get to have on the job.
I would say.
And with some of the way we start the shows where we do the sneak pass at the beginning,
right.
I do have a real good time of getting the crowd into it, starting
to
yell.
You're just right there.
I've been known to, like, literally shake. I know it's funny, but I get so emotional. I do. I love this. And that's why I wanted to be on this team. Not just that aspect of getting to ham it up on the microphone,
right.
But I really love going out and meeting the crowds and meeting the fans. I mean, hopefully there's a lot of people listening now that I've met, because I love going out and meeting you folks. That's what it's about. It's about the airshow fan.
Well, and you know? And you know a lot of them out there. I'll tell you, this is a terrific thing, not only for the military folks who are here, but also for the civilian folks that are wandering around this convention. This has got to be a lot of fun, though. A good TDY to get away.
It is, and you know, this is my second year. It's my second year at ICAST, so I'm having a lot of fun. This is like a high school.
Faces.
Yes, it's like a high school reunion. You know,
in a lot of ways it is.
Yeah, last year I came here and I was humbled right away because I'm meeting all these folks, and because of the patch I'm wearing, Viper West, right away they accepted me. They're like, "Hey, welcome, have fun." And I realized this is a family. This is a close family.
Right.
And I also realized, wow, some of these folks are like the true rock stars of this community, and they're talking to me because of the patch over. And it humbled me, and it made me really appreciate what this is. I mean, this is an absolutely amazing career opportunity for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for anything better. I can't believe I waited 20 years to get the greatest job in the Air Force.
Well, absolutely. You've been serving 20 years. What do you know at the end of the day? I mean, at the end of the day, we have and we hold the world's most lethal Air Force.
Yes, we do.
This is air power at its finest.
Yes, it is.
The F-16, one of the greatest fighters ever made. I mean, it stands up there with the legends, just like the P-51 Mustang. It's got to send a chill down your spine to see that thing fly over, though.
Oh, it does. I mean, literally, every time that jet cracks burner, I do kind of get a chill. And what's even better at a lot of air shows that a lot of people I know you guys love to do, and, you know, you see the heritage flights.
Right.
And you see these modern aircraft, whether it's our F-16 or an A-10 or a Stryker, flying with some of these old warbirds, you know.
Oh,
like
yeah, Lee Lauterbach and everybody else.
Yeah, Dan Freakin, Snort, all these legendary pilots, and they're flying these beautiful old airplanes, these P-38s. That's my favorite part of the shows. I love the heritage flights. The
next year is going to be a big one.
Yes,
it's going to be a big year for the heritage flight and for the F-16 demo. Are you going to be at the announcer forum tomorrow morning?
Oh, absolutely.
At 7 in the morning or whatever ridiculous time it is.
Ooh, is it that early?
It's
wow,
that
let
early.
Me rethink that.
Yeah.
No, I actually need to be there, so I'll
don't
have to
get
with them.
Assassinated.
No,
watch
no,
out for
I,
Gordon.
I'm going to stand in the back of the room, back to the wall, facing everybody. I'll be sure to be safe.
What do you want folks to take away from this after they see the show? What do you want them to know about this? What do you want them to know about the F-16 and Viper West?
Well, a couple things. I want them to leave knowing that they're in safe hands. I mean, that's one of the reasons we take our aircraft on the road. We want to show you the capabilities that our men and women of the service are putting into use every day in places like Iraq, Afghanistan. So you have a sense of trust and you know, hey, we're professional, we're doing it right. Also, a big thing for me, you know, you see a lot of children. You see a lot of folks, less fortunate folks at these shows. For me, a really important aspect of it is, you know, I want to inspire.
Yeah.
I want people to come to a show and be inspired to say, you know, I could do that, or I could do something really great if I just applied myself. You know, inspiring a child or a handicapped individual.
Absolutely.
Or someone less fortunate that doesn't have good self-esteem. It's like, no, you can do it. You just have to try. I mean, just put a smile on their face. And let's face it, the economy has been bad. Everyone's kind of looking down. We're giving them a chance to look up. Look up in the sky and dream. What I would love you guys to do, go to YouTube and do a search for 2010 Viper West Demo Team.
All right.
I've posted a lot of videos throughout the season that I make of our team. My moniker is Viper West Opie. And in a week, I am going to world premiere our super-duper end-of-year video all over YouTube and everything that I've been working on for a month. So.
Good Lord. Well, it's great to see you here, and you know, you're becoming quite the establishment of the air show.
I
see you everywhere we go, and It's just a lot of fun. a lot of fun to see you guys out there performing. And you know, it's funny. We do a lot of East Coast air shows, and we've seen a lot of West Coast.
We got a lot of shows this year on the East Coast this past year, and I hope we get more. There's a few shows on the East Coast that I'm gunning for.
Anything you can give us a clue as far as where you're going to be?
We won't know our schedule.
Probably the big boys announced it, but you know.
Yeah, we won't know our schedule till mid to late January.
Okay.
I mean,
other team that flies F-16s, I think they came out with that.
I mean, I could probably tell you the shows I want to go to. I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I want the Pittsburgh show.
Sure. Do you get to fly on the F-16?
I've had a ride before. Yeah. I have ridden in a 16 and a couple rides in an F-15. That's why I started working. That other airplane, the split tail, you know.
You're saying you got your start as an avionics guy.
Yes, avionics, 10 years on F-15s.
God bless you. Thanks for your
service.
At
Langley in Virginia. Oh, thank you. Not a problem.
No, really, truly. You know, my wife is active duty Air Force, and not as long as you have been. You've been in over 20, I guess.
Yeah, I hit my 20-year mark this past October.
It's such a great career, and I encourage anybody and everybody who thinks about doing it to go ahead and do it. It's just a wonderful career, and as you said, it gives them a chance to look up and know they can do something great.
And, you know, I have no regrets. I mean, it's been a great run, and I may retire after this year. And it's kind of scary because I don't know what I'm going to do.
Unless they say, hey, why don't you give us a run another year?
Yeah. I wish they would. A lot of people ask me, what are you going to do? And I said, you know, I feel like I'm 5 years old. And someone's saying, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
Because this is all I've known. So
easy to do, man.
Yeah.
Easy to do.
Carl, oh, absolutely.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Matt. Glad to
talk
to
it's a pleasure, man. It's a real pleasure to have you on. And I'm looking forward to seeing you out on the circuit again next year.
All right. I'll be
there.
It'll
be some fun stuff. And watch out for Gordon. Watch out for Gordon. And Danny Clisham, you know, and Rob Ryder. The three amigos.
Yeah,
Be careful. The greatest show on turf was also well represented during the ICAST convention. Here now, all the way from Geneseo, New York, is Naomi Wadsworth. Naomi joins me now from the 1941. I don't want to say hag. When I say that, then you're here, Naomi. I'm not going to even go there. But
I don't mind being called a hag.
From the historic aircraft group in Geneseo. Welcome. What a way to start out. What's going on? I mean, so much is going on out there in Geneseo. Everybody's favorite show, the greatest show on turf.
I'll tell you, we're very, very excited. We just took delivery of the B-23.
Awesome. Coming down the road, saw all the pictures.
It was great. We brought the fuselage back a month or so ago, and the center section and wings arrived a week and a half ago, and it was a big day for us. We're all really, really excited. My dad is totally motivated to develop the $1 million+ it's going to take to get it in the air by next fall.
Wow. By next fall?
Yes.
Wow.
We've already been asking Vern whether he can give type ratings in the B-23. Wow. It's a huge undertaking, and that's not very realistic, but the enthusiasm is there, and the guys have started taking little parts apart and cleaning things up and looking at the corrosion. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be repaired, but
That was a big thing, you know. And I've seen that airplane when I was out in Midland a number of times. I used to live out there, and you know, it from the novice point of view, I mean, it looks all right. But I know when you start tearing stuff down, you start finding the stuff. But the guys seem really encouraged there. They seem really encouraged by it.
Well, you know the history of the museum, and you know that we had a B-17 and we lost it. We've had the fortune of having Talachet's airplane there, which has really boosted our museum emphasis and the tourism. This gives us another bomber. This gives us our own bomber. And it's very unusual. There are only 39 of them made. 39, 38. Very, very rare airplane off the Douglas frame, which kind of dovetails into our vintage D-Day veteran C-47. It's really exciting, and it's just everybody's really excited to have a bomber. It's just our own bomber, so it's the energy is it's infectious. It's just incredible.
You know, so many folks have gotten their start at that museum. They have gone on to do really terrific things. And one of the guys that you and I've talked about him offline, but one of the guys I'm really excited about is Austin Hancock. He's been on this show, and the energy behind him must be just magnetic, because a young guy fired up about warbirds, but he's doing something about it. Raising money to get a fighter back at Geneseo. In fact, a P-51 is what he says.
Yeah, a P-51, and you know, we have to say that, you know, lots of ideas come in and lots of people bring ideas, and you know, a lot of times there's a core group of us that end up trying to get those ideas functioning.
Right.
And it's great to have the ideas and the support, but when Austin came in and said, I'm going to do this, and then
And he's a young 18-year-old kid at this point.
Right, and he got a donation bomb and he made a little sign and he put like $2 in it, and it became, again, infectious. I mean, people are taking the change out of their pocket, and we're up to like $1,500.
Well, that's what's so great about it. It's like he posts, he's so excited, he's like, we've raised $300, you know, and I'm like, you got a long way to go there, Austin. But, you know, it's awesome to see that. And, you know, it might be pie in the sky, but the cool thing about it is, I think, and I know he's going to do it.
He will do it. This is how I feel about it. And he's already talking about, you know, should we get a half scale, three quarter scale? There's a model we can buy that's in pieces that's out from Germany that might be a good. And I keep saying, well, I can't. One of the cool things for me, honestly, and I was talking about this with you offline last night, is the fact that next year will be my 30th year doing air shows, which kind of blows my mind. But I'm now a mentor. And I have been mentored by so many wonderful, amazing people. And when he asked me if I would join the team, as well as a couple of other notable people that are on the floor today, I thought, this is great. And just the fact that I can help him, and he believes in us and believes in himself, he will get this done. And I don't know what form it'll take, but we kind of help direct him, you know, let's think about a paid scheme. What do you want to do? Because if we can get the advertising, let's make it a little bit more focused, because you've done what you set out to do. But now let's try to really fundraise with an idea. I'm going to do this airplane. And he's thinking about a Tuskegee.
Well, and of course, you know, Brad Lang and all of them are here. It's going to be really exciting to see what happens with young Austin. But Naomi, you're quite the pilot. You're a real badass, Naomi, when it comes to warbirds. You've flown just about everything under the sun. High-time DC-3 pilot, C-47 pilot. And I hope that the young ladies who are listening, and even the older ladies who are listening to us today, are inspired by what you've done. And we had Beth Jenkins on this morning, B-25 pilot.
Right.
But I hope that they're inspired by what you're doing up there, and that they say, you know what, it's not just for the boys.
It's not just for the boys. I mean, I've been doing this for, as I said, for almost 30 years now, and you know, I've met my occasional rough and grumbled soul, but for the most part, 99% of the time, I've had great support from everyone, and I love what I do. I feel very blessed that I've been able to do what I've been able to do, fly the airplanes that I've flown, meet the people I've met, and the veterans that I've talked to throughout the years and their experiences, and you know, it's just. It's an amazing experience, and I feel very, very fortunate.
Absolutely. Naomi Wadsworth, thanks for being here. And give the plug for the 1941 Historic Aircraft Museum and Air Group and all that. I'm not going to say HAG, but just give us a plug. Give us the website.
Our show is the second weekend in July. We really, really want you all to come out. It's going to be a little loose Navy theme this year.
Okay.
We're not sure exactly on what level, but we're going to try to support the Navy anniversary. 1941hag.org is the website. We really would love to see you guys, and you know, look for our airplanes at shows around the East Coast. We'll be all over the place. Come out and see us. We're, you know, you never know who you might meet. So.
Well, I agree. Naomi, thanks for coming on, and we'll have you back on here before the show's over.
Sure.
Naomi
thanks,
from
sir.
The 1941 Historic Aircraft Group Museum up there. The greatest show on turf, Naomi.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much. That's all the time we have for this episode, but for more information on the 2011 air show season, just stay tuned to Warbird Radio. We'll keep you up to date on what's coming up next. Thanks for listening. Now stay tuned. There's more Warbird Radio coming up right after this.